Pastor Joe.
And I'm Kirsten.
We've served in church leadership for over two decades.
And most of that, we've been on staff together.
We're here to talk about our faith, family, and ministry.
Welcome to Under the Hood.
Kirsten, let's tell everybody something they don't know about you.
Secrets?
It's not secret, but it's a secret. It's not a secret, but it's kind of been a secret. It's not something that we talk about. And I guarantee you, the majority of people who listen to this podcast don't know this about you.
It's not that big of a secret.
No. It's not anything scandalous or anything like that.
I mean, some people might think it's scandalous.
No, but...
Just kidding.
But
Abby's eyebrows but are the reason, really high right
but
now.
The reason,
she's really on her edge of her seat here.
But the reason why I think... And you and I talked about this, you know, earlier, because this is not something that you've ever really
put out there.
And before anybody starts going, oh, what is it? You know, it's not like that.
Kirsten's been married before.
What?
I start my own rumors. No, nothing like that, of course.
But it impacted our lives the other day in a big way, positive way. And I told Kirsten, I said, you ought to tell more people about this. This is under the hood. So here it is. She gave me permission to tell everybody this. Kirsten, for quite a few years, has been running an Instagram page that she's been the creator of. And it's gathered some following. And it's a fun Instagram page. And I'll let her tell you about it. But it does have some side benefits for us. Not financially, but it does have some side benefits for us. And we got to enjoy one of those benefits the other day. And I thought, I think you guys would like to know about it. And when you find out what Instagram page it is that she created, you might want to follow it.
If you're on Instagram.
Yeah. So Kirsten, why don't you go ahead and reveal what's this Instagram page that's gathered a pretty good following?
It's called Food NWA on Instagram. And I started it, several years ago. We'd go out to eat to new establishments here in Northwest Arkansas. And I was like, you know what? It'd be kind of fun just to start. I love taking pictures of food when I cook, when we go out, whatever. And I thought, well, that'd be kind of fun to start putting some of those out there and letting other people know that, hey, there's a new restaurant that opened and you should check it out or whatever. And so I started taking pictures of our food, and we'd go out, and it started, like you said, gaining some traction. And so I've never put my face on the page.
You don't have your name on it anywhere.
I don't have my name connected. It was funny. The other day, I had a friend from high school start following the page, and I was like, wait, what? Like, I went to high school in the Chicago area. He's in the food industry, and he started following me, and I was like, okay, this is weird. So anyway, yeah, Food NWA. I just go sometimes secretively, like they don't know that I'm there, and I'll take pictures of the food where we ate, and I'll post it on there. And then other places have invited us to go come eat at their establishment.
And that's the benefit I'm talking about.
Now, the benefit now, he appreciates
Kirsten's,
my work.
Kirsten's, it is a financial benefit.
Kirsten,
Joe Williams.
And I want to talk about an experience we had the other day. Actually last night. So Kirsten's a foodie, you know that. And so this is in her wheelhouse. She like she said, new restaurants.
Yeah.
She likes to this and that. And so this Instagram page has gotten enough following, and that some of the restaurants have looked at it and said, hey, if we can get the Food NWA Instagram page to post pictures of our food, that's for them, it's marketing. And so Kirsten, some of them have reached out for you and asked you to come by and sample their stuff. You've been invited to different things. I know some have sent you product to our house to try, and that's been a lot of fun. But last night, a week or so ago, Kirsten got an invite from a new restaurant here in Northwest Arkansas, and they asked her to come and be their guest. And actually, this has happened twice
this week.
In the last week, this has happened. And so the first one, I didn't go with her, and she can tell you about that one. But the second one is a restaurant that is, it's called Mr. Walk. And it's a brand new restaurant here in Northwest Arkansas. They've been open 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And think of it kind of like...
Asian cuisine.
Asian cuisine.
An Asian bistro is what it is. And it's over in Rogers.
Think about it. It's kind of like a P.F. Chang's, you know, mm-hmm. different, but kind of like a in the P.F. Chang's style of restaurant. Mm-hmm. So they invited us. And so Kirsten and I and Brock got to go there last night. And man... It was so good. Joe was loving
it. It was funny on the way there. He's like, what are we going to order? I said, listen, usually they invite us because there's several influencers in Northwest Arkansas that do the same thing I'm doing. Some more successful than I, for sure. But they invite you and they tell you what they want you to eat and feature on the post that you're going to make. And so they said, hey, when you come in, you know, let us know that you're here. And so, yeah, so I let them tell us what they want. He said, hey, just order a couple things off the menu and then we'll bring you some extra stuff. And it was funny how many times Joe said, oh, that's right. This is Kirsten. You're going to do all the talking. Okay. Kirsten's going to do all the talking. That's hard for Joe.
I put my arm around Brock as we were walking in there last night. So they had direct message. Kirsten said, hey, when you come in, just let us know your food NWA. And we already have a table set up for you. And we're looking forward to you being there. You kind of feel like a little bit of a celebrity, kind of a little bit. But
yeah.
But we walk in and the host is like, can I help you? You know, how many? And Kirsten's like, I'm with Food NWA. He goes, oh, Food NWA. come right over here. We're ready for you. And so we went in and the manager comes out and he says, hey, you guys, there's three of us. He goes, you guys order a couple entrees, order an appetizer. And they brought us some stuff right when we sat down. He goes, I'm going to bring you some appetizers too. And I'm going to look at what you ordered. I'm going to bring you an entree that I think would pair well. So, and these are big portions. And so they just kept bringing the food.
Lots of food.
And, you know, I felt bad. Brock's got a wrestling tournament on Thursday. And I'm like, you better pace yourself, buddy. You got to make weight. I, on the other hand, do not have to make weight. And we could not eat it all. And I can honestly tell you, this is just a plug for them. They're not asking us to plug them like this. But Mr. Wok was good. It was good. And so we had sesame chicken. And we had
their teriyaki chicken. I was really impressed.
We had the teriyaki chicken.
The chicken was.
Yeah. They had, what was the other dish? It was the orange chicken. So those were the three entrees, and they were amazing. Mm-hmm. And then they brought us spring rolls and egg rolls, and they were just okay. Then they brought also all their dipping sauces. Crab rangoon.
Fried green beans.
Yeah, I'd never had this before.
Mr. Wok sauce.
Oh my goodness, it was so good.
It was really good.
And then they brought us the. What were those things that the very beginning, the three, they were like donuts. They were like powdered sugar things. Anyway, I have not been that full. I mean, Abby, you don't know what this feels like because you're very disciplined. But have you ever eaten so much in one meal? You're like, I can't move.
Joe said, I'm going to hurt myself. I'm like, don't do that.
I mean, where
it
you
affects all no, of us where you when
go,
you do that.
Where you go home and like for an hour after the meal, you just feel miserable. So stuffed.
Who would want to do that? Why would you want to eat so much that you don't feel good?
Well,
it happens.
I think they officially call that an eating disorder. And I've experienced it many times. Listen, nobody says, hey, what church do you go to? New Life. Oh, is that the one with that skinny preacher? No one says that.
No one has said that.
No one. But anyway, all joking aside,
we ate a lot. It was really good.
It was amazing.
It was a great experience. It was fun.
Tell them about the other experience you had earlier this week.
So also this week, I got to visit a dessert lab in Springdale. It's called Chocolata. And it's a Dubai dessert lab. And I highly recommend going. They, of course, spoiled me. But they have, if you like Dubai chocolate, which is actually...
Tell them what Dubai chocolate is, because I don't think a lot of people would understand what that is.
So Dubai chocolate is like a new thing within this last year. So it's kind of blown up. And Dubai chocolate, from my studies... because no one will be surprised by this, but I, of course, have made a Dubai chocolate strawberry cup at home. And I've actually posted about that.
I remember that because we went to Franklin, Tennessee, and we went to that food market thing, and you were like, what's this? And they said it was
pistachio cream.
And they said, what do you use this for? And they said it goes with,
and they said, well, it's used for a number of things, but it's also used in the Qatafi to make Dubai chocolate. So I was like,
that was our introduction.
I'm sold. So of course I bought the $20 pistachio cream jar and
was
like,
not happy about that. I was not happy about that. To be honest. Little teeny jar of this stuff. I'm like, she goes, I'll have one of those. I'm like, you want to consult with me first?
No, I already know your answer is going to be no. And I'm like, I'm buying it. My money. Okay. So Dubai chocolate, I believe, probably came from Dubai, and they've been making these Dubai chocolate bars, and people have been ordering them online. And it is a chocolate bar stuffed with Qatafi, which is like a phyllo dough cooked and chopped up and crushed and toasted, and it's crunchy with the pistachio cream. So it's got green, which kind of freaks people out when you're weird about colors and food. And they mix it together, stuff it into like a dark chocolate bar or milk chocolate bar, and then people devour them because the combination is pretty amazing. However, chocolate is not my favorite thing to eat. And so when I saw the Dubai strawberry cup, I was like, that's probably something I would love. And it is amazing. And so they specialize in Dubai chocolate desserts.
So tell them what desserts they gave you.
They did a Dubai strawberry cup. They did a Dubai crepe. They did a Dubai waffle. And a homemade cheesecake, Dubai, like covered with Dubai chocolate. And I think they also have pancakes. They also have the chocolate bars.
Yeah, they gave you a chocolate bar to take home with
you. He started this business in his home, I believe, making the chocolate bars, which apparently they're available down the street from Reardon campus at Casey's.
Yep. What?
So
saw him at the cash register this morning.
Seriously.
And I was like, Kirsten. Isn't they're available right down the hill.
You know you've made it if Casey's will carry your candy bars. Right?
Well, he's been doing this for a while, and I actually been following him when he was just making the chocolate bars, because I was like, oh, this is interesting. Someone's doing Dubai chocolate out of their home here in Northwest Arkansas, and he was doing the strawberry cups. I perked up. I was like, well, I'm interested because I know how expensive they are to make. And so anyway, it became so popular, he decided to open his own establishment, and it is a dessert lounge. I mean, that's what you're going to get. Now, they also have other things for people who don't want to buy chocolate and you want Oreos instead. Or
can
something.
I tell you, we live on the greatest country on earth. We have dessert lounges. I mean, just think about that. Just think about that phrase. I mean, I'm sure there's dessert lounges in other parts of the world, but probably not like here in America. We live at...
I don't know.
Listen, we all can agree.
To Dubai now.
Listen, our country has got its problems, but dessert lounges aren't one of them. I'm just going to say. So
they spoiled me rotten. I made him a great post.
And you brought a lot of that home.
I said, I walked in there and they said, okay, he's going to want you to try this, 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 and this. And I said, I better pace myself because there's no way I can eat like more than one bite of this. And I didn't have anyone with me to share it with because I was actually on my way somewhere when I stopped in there to do this. And so I said, okay, so bring it on. She's like, which one do you want first? So I did the strawberry Dubai cup first because I could have eaten the whole thing. But and then I did the waffle, the crepe, the cheesecake. And then they sent me back with a Dubai chocolate bar, dark chocolate, which I got to share with Abby.
It was so good.
Abby loves dark chocolate. And I was like, well, who can I share this with? Because I can't eat it all. So
now let's get to the real reason why I recommended we talk about this on our podcast. I need all of our listeners to go follow Food NWA because the more followers... then the more of these opportunities will come to us. And if you care about us, if you love us, and this podcast means anything to you, and you want your pastor and his wife to continue to be invited out to dinner. No, but all joking aside, we'd love for you to follow it. But
it's a fun way to find different places. So if you're not familiar with restaurants that are opening, because we have a ton of them opening here in Northwest Arkansas, especially downtown Bentonville, Rogers, there's always stuff. Well, I keep up on most of that as much as I can because it is a hobby. I don't get paid for it, and it's just something I enjoy doing. And so if you are looking for a place to go to eat, it's a great resource to go, well, let's see what looks good here and find a place and go try it.
And what you do for them when they invite you, you turn around, you make a post.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the understanding.
Trying to support them.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. And so
obviously, there's been a couple places that I've actually posted about and they're no longer open.
Yeah. So, and a lot of times they'll reach out and say, thank you for just some of the posts that you do. And so I don't want to make this sound like we're getting asked all the time, but we had a couple rolling here real back to back to back. And I thought, man, this has been awesome. And I think we should tell people about this. This is under the hood.
And what's interesting to me, cause I've learned about it, is that a lot of time, because I don't feature myself, not everyone likes my style of, influence, because there's other influencers that they feature themselves and they talk and they share about the food. And I don't typically do that. I've kind of kept it like a...
You've never been a spotlight seeker.
Yeah. So I'm just more like, hey, this is the food I was sharing with Abby. There's a lot of restaurants and places here in Northwest Arkansas that want to feature their drinks. Well, I strictly do food. So if they want me to come feature their drink or like, you know, this post about their drink or whatever, I don't do that. It is strictly food. And so, so it's fun. It was fun for me. It's a hobby. And I don't, like you said, I don't do it for any kind of glorification for me, but yeah, we've gotten a little recognition that way. And then, been invited to some places and it's been fun.
Well, to put it plainly, this has never impacted my wallet, but it has drastically impacted my belt line. And, this is where the impact is felt.
Well, and I would be able to do more, but
waistline.
I will tell you this, it's hard to try and eat healthy and then try and have like an influencer's page for food. Cause they said, well, why don't you, like, how do you get more followers? Well, you get more followers by posting more restaurants and featuring new places. I can't eat out that much. I can't go.
I can't afford to eat out that much.
Yeah. And so it's one of those, you know, that's why it's just a hobby. It's fun. And
yeah. That's all it is. It's fun. But it has.
It has its perks.
It's gained enough steam that some of these restaurants find it and they're like, we want you to come. And in those situations we do. And so I love the video you made about the chocolate lounge.
Thank you.
The dessert lounge. That's really awesome.
Thank you. Well, and I hope people will go support what he's doing because it's really delicious. And it's not a dinner place. You're not going to get dinner and dessert, but if you're out and about and you're like, you know what we should do? We should go get dessert, and let it last. I'm more of like a dessert should last the day. Like you could make your Dubai chocolate cup last almost all day. I know you don't believe in that. You believe in it lasting the hour.
I believe in just woofing it down. I mean, that's
your mom had said she had a candy bar in the freezer and it lasted her like a couple months. And I was like, who does that?
But this is where.
But I think Abby does that.
I was like, me.
Well, see here. And here's the difference. And Kirsten, I know we fell in love, but we are so different on so many levels. Kirsten, if we were going to go out for dinner, she's like, hey, there's this new place and it's like they specialize in this and we should go try it out. And I'm like, oh, okay. And she's like, where do you want to go? I'm like, Taco Bell. And I mean, it's like Chick-fil-A.
That's true. We could not be more opposite in that. Cause I love checking out food trucks. I want to try different kinds of foods. And as soon as I say like, you know, I don't even know, like different types of food, whatever. He is just like, what even is that? I'm like, oh no, it's good. Let me show you a picture. No, I don't. Ooh, that does not look good. And then I get him to try it, and he's like, oh, that was way better than what I thought it would be.
Well, the difference is, I personally would never visit a dessert lounge on my own. I mean, without this, I can promise you, on my own, I would have never tried to buy chocolate. I would have never. To me, I'm like,
you got
to
be adventurous.
No, and this is what I'm saying. Things. This is how we are so different. You're like, food NWA aside, you might say, oh man, there's this new dessert lounge. I'm like, well, what do they have there? Oh, like strawberry cups and Dubai chocolate. I'm like, well, how much is it? And when she would tell me, I would be like, I'm out. No way. You think I'm going to spend X amount of dollars on a candy bar? Forget it. I'm like, pass the Hershey Kisses. That's where's the M&Ms? Because I'm one of those guys that I am like, now I am not a dessert guy. And Kirsten can tell.
It's one of the reasons I didn't bring you with me. Or make a big effort to get you to come with me to the dessert lounge because you don't love dessert like I do.
Here's the shocker of shockers. I'm not a dessert guy. I don't crave sweets. I don't sit around and think about, oh man, I want, I do like it. Don't get me wrong, but I don't sit around and think about it's like Kirsten might say something, man, I wish we had some ice cream in the house. I'm like, oh, I haven't thought about ice cream in a long time. That's just like, that's not like me. I don't know what it is. But like, I like M&Ms and I like candy.
You do like candy.
I like candy.
He likes candy.
But I don't fawn over, like, if we're at a restaurant, I never think about their dessert menu. Never. Like,
I go to a restaurant for the dessert menu.
So sometimes Kirsten, if we're going out, she's like, I'm having dessert. She might state that. I'm putting you on notice. I'm having dessert.
My family, we went out to dinner in Chicago to a restaurant that establishment's actually closed now. They aren't even open. And everyone's ordering their entrees. And I ordered green beans. And my mom looked at me and she's like, why are you only having green beans? I go, because I'm here for the dessert. I am going to have some green beans and then I'm going to have dessert. And I did not want to fill up on, because their portions, it was like a Cheesecake Factory restaurant. Their portions were huge. And I was like, there's no way I'm ordering an entree and then going to be full and miss the dessert I want. So I was like, no, I'm here for the dessert.
For the record, we don't go out to eat all that often. We eat a lot at home. And that's
I love to cook,
and
too.
And that's my preferred. This week has been kind of a rare week for us because these multiple requests have come in. And I'm telling you, I've enjoyed it. And so you guys go follow Food NWA if you want to. But Kirsten runs that one. And I would just say there are many benefits to this marriage. And that's one of them. So, Kirsten, I want to talk about something. And we've actually talked about this person before on this podcast back in episode number 66. But I want to talk about...
How exact is that?
Well, I had...
You and your research skills.
Well, I had Abby look it up.
Abby's research skills?
I had Abby earlier today. I said, hey, Abby, sometime in the past, we talked about this. And I don't know what...
Say what this is?
Yeah, yeah.
Is this another second segment mystery?
No. So, Sunday night was the Grammys. And I could care less about.
Did you watch them?
No, I didn't watch them.
I don't think I did.
I mean, I lost interest in that years ago because, quite honestly, I just see them as a bunch of out of touch people with reality and self glorification and just a whole lot of stuff. I mean, here but I am.
Nate Bargatze won a Grammy.
Yeah, he did.
He's that comedian that is.
What did he host? What did he host last year?
He hosted.
Was it the Oscars?
Yeah,
was it the Oscars or the Emmys?
Raked over the coals for it.
I actually, because I like Nate Bargatze, the comedian.
He's pretty clean.
Yeah,
for the most part, I can't remember any of his comedy being bad.
I thought he was one of the best hosts I think it was the Oscars. I could be, but I think he was the Oscars or Emmys. It was one of those. I thought he was the funniest host they've had in a long time. Usually, here for me personally. Usually when I tune into those award shows, I just get annoyed in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because everybody's making these political statements.
For sure.
Everybody's got an axe to grind. Everybody's making fun of everybody. And I don't really, there's a part of that, there's a way to to rib somebody without turning it mean-spirited. And these kind of awards hosts become very mean-spirited, and I don't like that.
What I liked about what Nate did, because I'm on a first-name basis, by the way.
Oh, you and Nate?
But what he did, and because I did tune in for that award ceremony because I heard he was hosting, and apparently time behind the microphone is an issue when you receive an award, and he was giving this plea of, hey, I'm going to donate X amount of dollars to this organization, and for every minute you go over,
every second you go over,
money's being taken away from that, because all these people are all about, you know, their money for charity. So you can't take money away from charity. So he put this plea out there, hey, for every second you go over on your speech, we're going to take money away from this. And then if you shorten your speech, we'll add money to this. Yeah.
However much time you leave on the clock.
That was a really, and I don't know if he came up with it on his own, but I thought that was a genius idea.
I thought it was hilarious.
But apparently it didn't go over super well. They ended up still giving a ton of money to charity for it, but because I think other people donated, and they said, I heard one speech, I don't even know who it was, but it was like, I know I'm going over and I'll pay for it, I'm sorry, because I still have to say a few more things. Well, that right there, that segment cost them, you know, $5,000 or whatever for saying that. But
you got a lot of self-love in that room and a lot of self-promotion. And anyway, that's not my point.
I know. But anyway, I liked that.
We watched that.
Yeah, we did.
I think that was the
Oscars.
And
only part of it.
It was the Emmys.
Oh, it was the Emmys. September. Okay.
Oh, September. Okay. Yeah.
So that was, I watched that. That's the last time I paid attention, and only because of him. But So
the Grammys were, what, Sunday, you said?
Sunday night. And so, and I knew it would be, because of the political culture right now and everything going on and how divided we are, I just knew that this was probably going to be one of those award shows where everybody is like, and it was that. I didn't watch it, but, you know, I read the news. You know, I follow some news apps and things. And then, of course, on Facebook, people are posting. But what I want to talk about today is that Jelly Roll, when he accepted his award for, I believe it was Country Album of the Year.
So is he a country artist?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what his genre is.
But he does a lot of collaborate. So
do people need to go back and listen to episodes 66?
No,
is that
no.
The number
no,
in
no,
order that, to make sense of this conversation?
No. In episode 66 of our Under the Hood podcast, we talked about churches that were singing secular songs in their services. And on that week, there was a church that sang a Jelly Roll song as a
worship song.
As a special number.
Special number, okay.
And what we talked about and what we debated in that episode was, should churches do that? Should churches take a secular song? And it really wasn't about Jelly Roll. And I remember saying back then, because I went back and reviewed it, that I don't know much about Jelly Roll, and I don't listen to his music, and it's not a knock on him at all.
But songs were becoming popular back then.
Well, and he was definitely a star that was
rising.
Sure. And so I didn't know much about his music. It wasn't, and he wrote a song, and it's just a song, and I don't even care about that. But when churches take these secular artist songs and they make them something meaningful in their service, it causes me some pause.
And that was episode 66.
That was episode 66. Okay. So we talked about him there, and I think I didn't listen to the whole, I didn't review the whole everything I said, but I remember either thinking at the time, or I may have even said this, that I don't know, maybe he sounds like somebody who is wrestling with some stuff, spiritual stuff, because some of the things he talks about and some of the things, like this song in particular, was like, you know, I know everything's going to be all right. It's that song. And in the context of just his words, fine, but you put that in the context of a church, are we accidentally or inadvertently not paying enough attention and introducing false doctrine into our churches? That was the whole conversation. Now, fast forward to today,
right,
and the Grammys.
Yeah.
And he comes out and he says something. Let's play it.
Yeah, you have a great speech at the Grammys was.
And it went all over the place. And I was like, wait a minute. This is not the same kind of sounding guy from, you know, a couple years ago. And again, let me preface this by saying I still don't know a ton about Jelly Roll, but I do know a few months ago he also won a Dove Award because he had a collaboration with, was it Brandon Lake?
Who yeah. Did? Okay. Yeah. And Brandon Lake's a worship leader.
So you have the song of the year, the Christian song of the year, and Jelly Roll's name is on that roll.
And if you don't know, the Dove Awards is the Christian Music Awards.
It's the Christian Grammys.
The Christian music industry.
It's the highest award you can get
getting recognized for a Dove Award.
CCM, Christian Contemporary Christian Music. Yeah. And again, I was like, confession.
Were you being judgmental?
Yes.
Judgy.
Full confession. I said this to Kirsten when they announced the Dove Award winners, and I didn't watch that show either. That one annoys me too.
Not for as various other reasons.
But when they announced the winners, Christian Song of the Year, Jelly Roll. And I remember telling Kirsten, what is this world come to? What is going on in our world that Jelly Roll, who's not even a Christian, at least that's what I thought at the time.
So you're judging someone's heart without knowing.
I'm saying I lacked information.
Yeah, you did.
Because I don't pay attention.
From his speech at the Grammys, you may now. Well, think
when you
otherwise.
Listen to Jelly Roll's music, he's got F bombs. He's talking about, you know, it's not Christian worship music or Christian music at all. And so when they announced Jelly Roll as winning the Christian Song of the Year with Brandon Lake, did we determine, is that who it was? Brandon Lake? Okay. It set me back a little bit. Yeah. I thought, what's this world coming to?
Well, and I can understand, especially from a parent's perspective, because we never really had an issue with the music our boys chose. I'll be honest with you. That was never an issue. They actually liked all the music we liked, which is kind of funny. Well, like all the 80s music.
What we know about.
Well, that's true. That's true. But what's interesting from a parent's perspective, though, like he wins a Dove Award. And so then kids are like, oh, Jelly Roll. Now we're allowed to listen to Jelly Roll. But not all of his music is on this. I'm assuming, I'm making a judgment here, is on the same level or rhythm with Brandon Lake. Like you said, there's a lot of other songs that he's written with bad language and heavy subject matter that's like, okay. Just because
secular music,
yeah, just because he won an award for a Christian song that he collaborated with one time does not necessarily put him to the level of okay, every parent should be okay with their child.
There's this brand new Christian artist on the scene, so okay,
let me
give you the timeline. So, episode 66, don't know much about Jelly Roll, and my conclusion was I don't think we should be singing that song in church. Based on the artist and the content. Fast forward, he wins a Dove Award.
In September.
Like, what?
Yeah.
A Dove Award? Jelly Roll? What's this world coming to? And then, at the Grammys, he says this. Go ahead and play that, Kirsten. And I've had to kind of rethink some things.
I know they're going to try to kick me off here, so just let me try to get this out. First of all, Jesus, I hear you, and I'm listening, Lord. I am listening, Lord. Second of all, I want to thank my beautiful wife. I would have never changed my life without you. I'd have ended up dead or in jail. I'd have killed myself if it wasn't for you and Jesus. I thank you for that. I thank you for my label, Broken Bow. Country Radio, baby, what's up, dog? Oh, Republic, John McNeely, we did it, baby. There was a time in my life, y'all, that I was broken. That's why I wrote this album. I didn't think I had a chance, y'all. There was days that I thought the darkest things. I was a horrible human. There was a moment in my life that all I had was a Bible this big and a radio the same size and a 6x8 foot cell. And I believed that those two things could change my life. I believed that music had the power to change my life and God had the power to change my life. And I want to tell y'all right now, Jesus is for everybody. Jesus is not owned by one political party. Jesus is not owned by no music label. Jesus is Jesus. With him. I love you, Lord.
Okay. So that starts making the rounds Sunday night, and I was like, here was my first thought, and I'll just say it. I don't think somebody who wasn't serious or having some kind of moment with the Lord or transformation of life or what, I don't think somebody that wasn't experienced that could say that.
Right. I believe that too. I don't think he would take the microphone and take a stand for Jesus if it had, if Jesus hasn't already changed his life. Why would you fake that?
Well, I think what's obvious.
Someone in the news had said it was a political statement, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Because he said Jesus is not for a particular political party, which is true. Jesus is for everybody, no matter what. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I.
But no, I agree with you. I don't think he would have been bold. That's bold with your faith. You're standing in front of a secular crowd. What I found interesting was the amount of cheering for that.
Well, you know that it's not just celebrities in that room, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you been there before?
Well, they have seat fillers. They have general public seating. That it's kind of like concert seating, too. Okay. So it's not all celebrities. Now, when they cut away with the camera, you see the celebrities. And they cut away in that clip that you were showing.
Yeah.
Only to Reba McEntire.
Reba McEntire.
I know.
Yes, exactly.
Because probably there were people sitting at a table right next to her who weren't cheering.
Mm, okay.
But yeah, all those awards shows have basically extras. You know,
like, Abby is our expert in the industry of.
I would not call myself an expert.
Actors and wars. Well, you know what I mean. Well, more informed than us. But no, well, that's interesting because then there was cheering, or I don't think that they would have added like a track of cheering because they're pretty good at letting the crowd kind of dictate the mood of the room, whether it's boos or whatever, because it does seem like most of those celebrities want to stand up and share their political views, or I mean, they've been given a microphone during a political time. They're gonna make their speech, and if we're happy that he's making a pro-Jesus speech, I think we're probably having to be okay with people who I don't necessarily agree with what kind of speeches they made, which I don't know of any other ones because I didn't pay attention to it. But there were a lot of cheers for his speech that he made about pro-Jesus.
So, okay. So think about our definition of a disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and joined the mission of Jesus. Yep. And just based on what I heard, okay, and again, I'm going to plead a little ignorance because I do not follow this man's career. I don't read his interviews. I don't listen. I don't pay attention. So what I have is sound bites. But based on sound bites, and of course, I've never talked to the guy, but listening to that, I would say this is somebody who's made a decision about trying to
change his life.
This is somebody that's made a decision about who he wants to follow. Okay. And he's starting to change.
Well, and we all know that when we choose Jesus, we're not immediately a completely different person. We have a lot of things to work on in our life, our entire life.
Yeah.
And I think he's saying from his speech, all I had in my prison cell, which if you didn't know, he has done time in prison.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't really, it's hard for me to relate to what his pre-music career was like. I mean, in prison.
Yeah, he didn't have a music career until he got out of prison.
I know he was doing music, but I don't even know what his crimes were.
No, I don't either. But I know that he's saying, I had my Bible and I had music. That's all I had. And I think he allowed... I've done prison ministry. I see a lot of people who have been in prison and their life has been changed. And some of them come out and they still live a Christian life when they're outside of prison. And some go back to what they were doing. And so I don't even know how long he's been out of prison, but I think it's been a while because his music career has taken off with it. But I think that this has been an ongoing thing for him and a growth thing for him. And he really is trying to change. And I think some people who've done prison time, who use, like you called the F-bombs, these hardcore words, I think that's just in them. That's how they're expressing themselves, to say, this is just like this dark horribleness that's coming. Like, this was part of me. And that sometimes is maybe the last thing that's transformed.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, it's fresh in my mind because, I don't know. I just heard that. And I just, my first thought was, I don't think somebody who's not experiencing some transformation in their life would say something like that.
So now will you, do you think that churches should use this song?
No, no. I think there needs to be more time take place to see where this all goes. Okay. So I'm a firm believer that God cares more about where you're going than where you've been. You know, I hope that's obvious to anybody that hears me preach. I believe it. I just preached a sermon a couple of weeks ago on the Apostle Paul and how he moved beyond his past. And even Paul, it took quite a while for the church to come around him and like, is this legit? And I think that might be a little bit of the phase I'm in, just a little bit. Not, and again, I don't, hear me, I don't pay that much attention to this. Right. Okay. It's what he said that caught my attention.
For sure.
So
it's why he said it. I think he wanted people's attention caught. It's why he said
it. Well, I think, honestly,
you don't say that at on stage behind a microphone at the Grammys, not so, thinking, I mean, they already know this is going to, I'm being bold. I'm being strong. My voice is going to be heard, and it is going to be blasted all over social media, all over the news. Right.
Well, I looked into what some other people were saying. They were making the dumbest statements about, you know, ICE and politics and immigration. They use their platform.
They have their right
to spew
we might not
their
agree with
convictions,
it.
Which I think most of the time is pretty dumb, but he got up there and used his platform to say, and it wasn't, I want to thank God for this award.
Right.
It was
generic. It wasn't generic at all.
Jesus, what did he say? Jesus is for everybody. He also said Jesus isn't owned by a, you know, Jesus doesn't belong to one political party. Correct. What was interesting is
and
that.
And then people thought that was political.
Well, I think Fox News, a friend of mine shared a post from Fox News that said, Jelly Roll makes political statement at and I'm going, I had
things to say.
And I'm going, out of all the incredibly stupid stuff that people said that night when they had their moment, and they singled out him as making a political statement because he said,
I think his whole point was saying, well, I already said that. Like,
I think his point was saying, listen, and again, people try to bring Jesus into their politics and say, well, Jesus is a Republican, Jesus is a Democrat. I think he's saying Jesus for everybody. He's not owned by one political party or whatever. But the heart behind what he said, Jesus for everybody and Jesus changed my life. That was his message. Mm-hmm. His 1 minute on stage, that's what I took away from it. Jesus changed my life. Jesus for everybody. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. To me, that's a powerful witness. And I think somebody who's not going through transformation doesn't say that.
We should have invited him to be part of our podcast today. I don't know why we didn't. Where were you guys on that one?
I don't think we could afford his, what do they call it, Abby? It's an appearance fee. I don't think we could afford his appearance fee.
I don't even know.
But you know.
I'm going to make the inquiry.
I'm
going to find out.
But here's the thing.
From Food NWA.
That's right.
Hey, he might like that. No, he's lost so much weight. He probably wouldn't.
He's not eating jelly rolls right now.
He's
so
not going.
He
to
looks fantastic.
Dessert lounges.
I mean, he looks great because he was a lot heavier. Mm-hmm. But could we? I mean, I look at that boldness, and he's got a lot more to lose than
for
me
sure.
If I'm bold. And so, I mean, that night too. Again, this is stuff I learned after the fact. Like Nicki Minaj. I couldn't even name one song that she's ever sang, but evidently she's really aligned herself with the Republican Party and Trump. And I guess I learned this later. I guess she's been spending a lot of time at the White House.
I don't even know if Republicans would say they've aligned themselves with Trump. So,
what I'm saying is after the fact, I went back and started looking at what people said at the Grammys. And I guess that host is a Trump hater and which they all are. I
don't
think.
Know who even hosted it.
Noah something. Anyway, he said he made a joke, or he was talking about all these people who are here, and he goes, and you know who's not here? Nicki Minaj. She's in Washington hanging out with Trump. And everybody cheered that she wasn't there. So I'm sitting here going, it's very clear which side the room was on and what they believe and all this stuff. And so for Jelly Roll to walk out there and say what he said to that audience, I'm saying Nicki Minaj, they're like boycotting her, making fun of her just because she's like, I agree with what Trump's doing or whatever. I mean, I don't want to act like I'm informed. And they turned on her. She was one of them, and they've turned on her. And then what I'm saying is
the reason why, I want to interrupt and say, but the reason why you don't align with a political party publicly is because of that very reason.
The division.
It creates division immediately. And that's sad for me, for her. I don't even know her. I don't even, like you said, I don't even know what she sings or if she even sings. I don't know. But I'm saying that people immediately cast judgment on you because you aligned with someone politically.
Right.
And so whether that is in the music industry, whether you're a pastor, whatever it is, people are going to immediately show either support or disgust for you because you chose a side.
And look how quickly they turned on her because they just don't agree with her positions. Look at Jelly Roll comes out and he says what he says to a room that I would say by and large probably completely disagrees with him, but he still boldly proclaim it. That's he uses platform.
And there were still a lot of cheers.
So what I'm saying is
I was surprised by that.
People cheer for all kinds of things.
They cheer for him. I don't know if they were cheering for his message.
I guarantee they weren't cheering for that. I'm just saying I heard what he said and I know what it could cost him to say that in such a public way. And I just thought, boy, and look at us, and we got nothing to lose to talk about Jesus, really. And we don't. Most people are never that bold. I don't know. I'm going to watch what's going to happen from a distance. I am curious. After that, I was laying in bed the other night, and I put my headphones on, and I went on Spotify, and I looked up Jelly Roll, and I started listening to the first couple songs on, on Spotify. You know, they do the top five or whatever most listen. So I was listening. There's no doubt the man's talented. There's no doubt he does. You know, it's listenable to music. Some music I can't stand to listen to, but I understand. I understand why he's popular.
Yeah, and you like country music a little bit.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. So anyway, I just want to talk about that for a minute.
Interesting.
I will watch from a distance what happens with his life, and let's see if this
trend. Come on.
Absolutely, I'll cheer that
cheer
on. If his transformation process continues, I definitely want to cheer that on. But I just want to say, I listened to that 1 minute clip, and my first thought was that sounds like somebody who's made a decision about Jesus, and is starting to be changed by Jesus. No,
and
I don't
is on a mission for Jesus.
I don't think that. Well, when I hear him talk, I listened to an interview afterwards, actually, just a few little, and I think he dropped an F-bomb in the interview. But he sounds like somebody who's a brand new Christian. He sounds like somebody's how a brand new Christian would talk.
Listen, we've had people in our baptistry.
This is true.
Use words like that. I mean, their life is being transformed as it we're experiencing it. Like if they've made a decision for Jesus, they know, hey, the next thing is I'm convicted. I need to be baptized. But I am still wrestling with this, and this, and my tongue and what I say. And I mean, we've been believers for how long? And there's things that we say that we shouldn't say.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we might not be dropping F-bombs on the microphone, but we still say things we shouldn't say, and the tongue is a sharp sword.
And let's be honest about something. You know, let's not pretend like every Christian music artist is walking with Jesus.
Right. That's just the industry that's paying the money.
That's right. I read a fantastic book here a few months ago called Losing My Faith. And is that the name of the book? I read quite a bit. I'll have to grab it somewhere. Oh, I have it at home. I think it's called Losing My Faith. It's a renew.org book. And It's this guy that wrote the book used to be in the contemporary Christian music scene and had quite a bit of success. And he was with the Christian music group Waverly. And he talked about how, you know, in that book, he makes references to just because somebody sings Christian music doesn't mean they're a Christian. Just because they sing about faithful living doesn't mean they're living faithfully. So let's not pretend ourselves. I think if I had to, I mean, and there are some extremely committed Christians in Christian music. I don't want to sound like they're not, but like you look at a Jelly Roll and you go, well, is he really a Christian? I look at some Christian music artists and I go, are they really Christians? And so don't get your theology from music. That's what I'm saying.
Well, and you're going to need to work on being less judgy.
I try not to be judgmental. But listen, I got strong convictions inside of me.
Well, and I know, and I understand that because people, but even though they have a platform, it's interesting because you have a different platform. They have a platform. They're still being transformed. Things are still changing, but they already have a platform and they're going to use it. You have a platform, but you became a Christian many, many years ago and you're using your platform of how God called you. They're using their platform of how they feel like God's using them right now.
It's not exactly the same platform.
No, it's not the same at all. And that's why I'm saying, like, it's a very different audience. It's a very different situation. And I'm just saying that they have this platform, whether they're using it for good or not is up to them.
And that's true. That's for everybody. Everybody has some kind of platform. Oh, yeah. We are all called to bear witness. I wish that I wish most Christians had his enthusiasm. I don't know if most Christians could stand up, walk up to microphone and make that same declaration with that same kind of boldness. That's and it doesn't true. Even cost us anything.
That's
so,
true.
All I'm saying is I try not to be judgmental. I really don't. And I believe my core conviction that God cares more about where you're going than where you've been. But at some times when I see hypocrisy, I'm like, I try not to be judgmental. Now, see, we're not doing a video podcast, but you should see the look Kirsten's giving me right now. She's giving me that raised eyebrow like, what are you saying? Now, here's something. Kirsten will call me out all the time. She'll tell me that sounds a little judgmental. That's a little judgmental for a pastor, don't you think? And so
she's. I feel like it's my calling.
You judging him is your calling.
I mean, I would want someone to do the same thing for me. But Joe's dad, my mom. They both are like, you guys are good for each other. Because Kirsten's not scared to be like, well, you got a little problem of your own here.
I have never claimed that I was a perfect person.
No, I know. But sometimes we have to be reminded. Like when Joe's road rage comes out, I'm like,
I don't have road rage. I just think everybody on the road's annoying. it's just a thought.
Get out of the way.
Left lane's for passing, not for cruising.
No, I'm just saying that I'm giving you the eye because sometimes I have to remind you that let's keep an open mind and
absolutely. Not and judge I need that sometimes
because we don't know these people personally, and that's what's so interesting about our culture is that we hear this. We heard this happened at the Grammys. We heard this speech on social media. We don't know any of this or any of these people personally.
Know anything about?
Although
their lives.
I am going to ask Jelly Roll. I'm calling you out, Jelly Roll, if you're listening. We'd love to have you on our show so that you can share your faith.
All I'm saying is that I don't think somebody who hasn't made a decision for Jesus and experiencing some kind of transformation says that.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for him. And so, and then you bring up a good point. I've preached this before, and it's a reminder to me. It's like the longer you're a Christian, the more you have to fight legalistic thinking. So... I think that's kind of where I'm at in my phase of life. This is what, when Kirsten calls me out on stuff, it's a recognition that, oh yeah, I have to fight this drift towards legalism. And I think that's all Christians have to do it, you know, to not become Pharisees, become so right in our, you know, that I'm going to optimistically watch from a distance.
You become so far the other way that you forget where we've come from or what God's done for us, and that we are measly blobs of clay that are still being molded. And we are not done.
Yeah.
And so he's a measly blob of clay as well being molded.
I just had
different way, different time frame.
I just had this thought, and this might be the difference of where me and Jelly Roll are at in life. If I'd have walked up out on that stage, my first inclination would want to be to call all of them out.
In judgment.
You're all going to hell. All of you. And I know I'm a nobody, but all of you, if you don't turn to Jesus, you're going to burn in hell. I probably is my more natural inclination.
The street corner preaching that wins no one to Christ.
If I was to walk out on the
Grammy. That's not your nature.
No, but if I was going to give a 90 seconds at the Grammy Awards, what would Joe Williams say? I think I'd have been like, all y'all, turn or burn.
I know you well enough. I do not think that's what you would do. I think you would try and go up there and be something funny. You would. It's in more of your nature to go up and be like.
Don't miss my point. Because we're talking about legalism stuff. My point would want to go up there and tell them turn or burn. Jelly Roll want to tell them something about Jesus.
Yeah.
And he used this platform. I want to tell you Jesus for everybody. And I'm proud of that. Yeah. So
good job, Jelly Roll.
Good job, Jelly Roll. We'll don't let us down. Don't screw up from here. Now you got it. No, I'm kidding.
Email us at underhood@newlifeonway.com.
I will be watching optimistically from the sidelines as to what happens next. Okay. I think they need a cat update. Two of our kitties have disappeared.
No, we are not talking about cats again.
Two of them have disappeared.
The two fur balls
haven't seen Fluff or Furball in weeks.
Have they been fixed?
Well, I need to go down to the neighborhood.
I think that's where they are.
I think they might be dead.
Yeah, they would have been back by.
You guys have thought your cats have died multiple times, and they always
they have
back.
Nine lives.
They always show back up.
They have nine lives. We.
We have been here many times.
That's why we're not talking about
I think they're
them.
Dead. I think Fluff and Furball are dead.
Like, I think they're dead.
An eagle probably swooped down and got it.
Hey, that's true.
The bobcat took them out.
It's season right now.
Eagles, bobcats. There's a lot of things that could have taken them out.
Did you see that attack? I want to say it's in Japan. Someone decided to go pet some kind of like leopard or black something that was, and it attacked them.
Of course.
And I'm like, I know. I'm like, why would you do that? It was in the wild. They were hiking and it was like a snow leopard or something. They oh, look at the little kitty. We should go pet it. I'm like, what? Isn't that crazy?
I saw a video of a cheetah run up and grab a hippo and bite him in the tail and grab him, and the hippo ran.
The butt.
The little tail on the hippo grabbed it like it was trying to attack it, and the hippo ran and it wouldn't let go. And then the hippo pooped all over the cheetah.
That's got to be AI.
And then I got to looking at it. I laughed. I was like, oh, man. And, you know.
Oh, good one. Hippo.
But then again, it may have been AI generated. AI. I can't tell anymore sometimes.
I don't even enjoy watching the videos anymore because I think most of them are AI. Yeah, there is one I've been following lately. So it's the Olympics.
Oh, geez.
I'm so excited about the Olympics. Okay. There's been one that I'm following, and there's this girl and her husband. The husband is the commentator, and she is usually an athlete of some kind in her kitchen, whether it's an ice skater, bobsled, whatever. And they do these reenactments of like either dancing or Olympic type sports. And then he's the commentator and they're getting ready. They're about to take off. And here they go. They got a good start. Blah, 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 blah. And then, and look at, they did a great finish. And she's up there like accepting all the cheers. I'm telling you, it's so fun and it's not AI. So I know. And it's just like, oh, but I love the Olympics. So that's why it helps. But it's such a great, she's a trained dancer, I think. And they do all this and his commentating is perfect. So that's my new thing. And I know that it's not AI. And so I like it. But the Olympics, we should talk about that because the opening ceremonies is this weekend.
Are you hosting an Olympics party?
I am.
It's yeah.
Every 2 years now. For I don't know how long I've been doing this. It was in China in 2008 or 10, somewhere around there, was probably the first time I ever did one. And I did fried rice. And then pretty much now every 2 years, I have been hosting an opening ceremonies party. And it's gotten a little bit more elaborate every year. Last year, we added decorations. And I always do the food of the hosting country. And this year, it's being held in Italy. So Ooh. We're doing Italian food. And so, yeah, it's just a fun thing we do. And I look forward to it. Joe comes along for the ride.
I don't really get into the Olympics. I'm actually in mourning at the moment because Super Bowl is this weekend and the Chiefs are not in it. So I am going to watch the Super Bowl and I'm excited about it. But I think this is really more like a after church because it's never a time of mourning at church. I love church. But I think after church, I think I'm going to go into a dark room.
No, you're not. You're going to.
And I'm going to dream about the Chiefs being in the Super Bowl.
You're going to sit your rear end on the couch with the remote. Leave me alone. I'm watching the pregame. What's for lunch?
I'm actually not in mourning. I'm actually going to cheer for the Seahawks this year because I like Sam Darnold's story. That's it. So Kirsten gets in the Olympics. I'm still in football.
I love Super Bowl because I am excited about making some snacks for the Super Bowl. And another Instagram page I have is Kirsten's Kitchen. We've shared that before. And so I posted some snacks that you can make that are my highlight. But this year, I think I'm going to do cheesesteak sliders. So I'll let you know if that actually happens. I might be exhausted from my Olympic opening ceremonies party and want to take a break and just order something in. But I doubt it. I'll probably make something. And that's on my agenda is cheesesteak sliders.
Okay. And I'm going to come back to an original thought I've had on here many times. Man, I wonder why Joe's so big.
You don't have to eat all of them. You could just have one or two.
I'm going to come back. Kirsten is an amazing cook. This lady knows how to work around the kitchen. And I am a wonderful recipient of her skills. But I'm saying all the things we've talked about in today's podcast is why I am what I am. Isn't that the biggest excuse you've ever heard? But it is. It's your fault.
You know, Erin Powell was on our staff and she just had a baby. Congratulations, Erin.
Congratulations, Erin.
She came in the other day with the baby. So sweet. And she said, well, one of the reasons I'm glad that I'm not on staff anymore is because of all the food you bring in. And I eat it. And I gain weight. I was like, what? She said, it's really good. I was like, oh. So, sorry, Erin. I hope that's not why you left us. I'll make like banana bread. And so instead of us eating it all at the house, I would bring it and share it and stuff like that. So
she puts a photo in the staff text thread. So everyone's like, oh,
yes, I think I made a
banana
couple
bread at the reception desk.
Texas sheet cake was a week or two ago. I'm like, hey, there's a Texas sheet cake at the reception desk. And people are like, oh, Kirsten. And it's not a bad, we don't want to eat this.
But it's 10 a.m. and I'm going to go ahead and have a slice of cake. So
And we don't want to have it at our house because we would eat it. And you know how you eat a Texas sheet cake all in one day, 1-inch square at a time.
Yes.
And I've seen videos about it online and it is so true. Like you think, oh, I'm just going to have a little corner. And then 5 minutes later, I'm just going to have another little corner. And 20 minutes down the line, you've eaten the whole piece. And then 20 minutes later, you've eaten another piece and you're like, I got to get rid of this. This should not be in my home.
Yeah.
Well, one of the biggest differences between Kirsten and I is, I'll preface it by saying this.
You're a boy and I'm a girl.
Well,
that's the biggest difference.
That is a pretty big difference. I don't remember the last time I could say I was bored. I honestly don't know what that means anymore. I don't know what that, but here's the difference between Kirsten and I. If I was ever bored, she might say, "Are you bored?" And I would say, "Yes." What are you going to do? I'm going to stay right here on the couch and watch TV and continue to be bored. And she would say, "Nope, I'm bored. I'm going to go make something in the kitchen." And that's the difference right there. If I'm ever bored, I'm going to stay bored. And I'm like, I'm not motivated to go make anything or try something. Kira's like, "Nah, I'm not going to sit around and be bored. I'm going to go make something."
That or a project. I kind of grew up that way. My dad was very project oriented.
He is.
And yeah. We always had something to do. And so I kind of feel like laying on the couch watching TV is a waste of time.
And I think it's a wonderful use of time.
And so I get really antsy about 5 or 10 minutes into sitting there. Either I'm like, "Okay, I should get my laptop and work, or I should work on a post online, or I should write a recipe, I should blog, I should
fold laundry at the same time."
That is not something I look forward to. So, so then I'll be like, "Oh, what could I make in the kitchen? Do I have all that? Oh, okay. So I should make a recipe, or I should make a Walmart order." So yeah, I do feel like I
value downtime. I do. I even at this stage in my life, you know, downtime is not necessarily boredom, but that's the difference between Kirsten and I. I'm like, "I'm down." She's like, "I'm gonna go make something." And then
all of a sudden
she makes all this stuff. She makes all this stuff. And then if I ever am bored, I'm like, "Well, what do I do? I eat." So it's this vicious cycle. It's this vicious cycle in our home. "Why are you eating that?" "I don't know. I'm bored." "Why'd you make it?" "I don't know. I was bored." And so she makes it because she's bored. I eat it because I'm bored. And it's just this circular thing. So there you go. Under the hood. Welcome to the Williams home.
That's all for today's show. We want to thank our amazing producer, Abby O'Brien. Be sure to check out our show notes and the links for things that we talked about today. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for joining us on
Under the Hood, not a car show.
All right, don't podcast angry. It's not healthy.
I'm not angry.
I'm just saying, don't podcast irritable.
I'm not irritable. I have my coffee. I'm happy.
All right, we ready?
Very happy.